Freeman Show with Anthony Lima.
Second and 7, 42 seconds to go. Daniels has time. Deep shot. Wants Deami Brown, who has it. Touchdown. Deami Brown beating Martin Emerson. That is a touchdown for the Commanders. A deep shot, and it's 23-3. Little end around Terry McLaurin on the first play of the third quarter. McLaurin. Ball out! Ball out! And picked up by the Browns! J.O.K. delivered a shot to McLaurin, and M.J. Emerson falls on it. First play of the third quarter. The Browns have the football. Watson operating out of the gun. Pumps the leg. Takes the snap. Gives to Foreman running left. They couldn't get lined up. Somebody was moving. The Browns going to back up. They had it first and goal on the 2. It's going to be first and goal on the 7. 13-15 remaining. Third quarter. Deshaun to throw. Deep drop. Steps up. Deshaun now spins out of a tackle and dropped hard. He is hit at the 9-yard line. Fourth and goal on the 8. Now Cooper's got his hands out, and Stefanski standing on the field. They want the play clock.
They're going to have to reset. Take another timeout.
And Stefanski is apoplectic on the sideline. Fourth and goal. You're down 3 touchdowns.
You either take the timeout or you take a delay of game and just kick field goal.
Delay of game. Offense. 5-yard penalty.
And they're going to kick the field goal.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
They're going to lose 34-13. That is a final. They go to 1-4. They were so close these last 2 weeks. Made mistakes and couldn't pull it out at the end. When they had an opportunity at the end, there was no opportunity here at the end. Not at all.
This is Cleveland's Sports Radio, 92.3 The Fan.
Audio courtesy of the Browns Radio Network. So it's like when you got, like, maybe I can use a Simpsons analogy. I got one kid who gets A's and you can put those up on the fridge. And I got another one that takes all my attention because they keep messing up. They're goofing off. And they can't do anything. I got Lisa Simpson.
We'll go
I got
with Lisa.
Bart Simpson.
Let's go with Lisa.
Lisa deserves it. The good one deserves it. The one that's done well deserves the attention today. So, Owen, you've done a hell of a job, but I think you're going to do even a more hell of a job here for a second because we're not starting with this garbage. I'm not going to start with that slop that happened yesterday. The quitting effort of everything. We're not starting with that. We're going to start with something good.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
And Kwon rifles one to right field. That is going to be off the top of the wall. Kwon into second base with a double. And if there was any wonder if Kwon's timing and rhythm was off, he just answered that question. 3-2. Ramirez on the ground. That's fair. And it hits the bag. It bounces down the left field line. Kwon is in. Fry to third. An RBI double for Jose Ramirez. 1-0 Guardians. He's got two of them right here as Lane Thomas turns on one. Deep in the left. There she goes. Lane Thomas, a 3-run blast. 5-0 Cleveland before there is an out recorded in this game.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
Tigers down to their last out. Fly ball left field. Quad is under it. And the Cleveland Guardians put game one in the books. Class A finishes it out. Largest shutout win in a postseason game in Guardians franchise history.
This is Cleveland Sports Radio, 92.3 The Fan.
Audio courtesy of TBS and Big Wings for your Cleveland Guardians on Saturday afternoon. Thank goodness for Owen and Mitch. Thank goodness for Tone. I was on the phone with you middle of the third quarter yesterday, and you says, you know what, let's just duck guards. They're the ones that deserve it, and you're damn right they're the
absolutely
ones that deserve it.
Absolutely. A no-brainer, really.
I was, because it had been such a layoff, I was like a little bit nervous about the game yesterday because it was so long. And so you watch these other teams, and what you do, you watch your opponent build momentum. You watch them build momentum. Like, they go to Houston, and they win both the games in Houston. It's a clean three-game sweep, however you want to say it. It's a clean sweep of a three-game series. And you're seeing just the great things said about them. They're a good young baseball team. And then the way that we come out, like, as I'm nervous because I'm like, well, you know, like, the other team, there's so many good things saying. We've just been practicing over the last week where I haven't had a chance to say – I've been saying great things about the Guardians. I haven't had a chance to hear a lot of great things about the Guardians. And so then for them to come out the way they did yesterday, play so well, it was fantastic. It was on Saturday. It was fantastic to see. The crowd was excellent. The team was excellent. Stephen Kwon to start things off the way he did. And Lane Thomas's home run. later in that baseball game to put it away to make it 7-0. I mean, to really, truly put it away to make it 7-0. There were some people saying they'd kind of take back what they said about him in August. It's been a hell of a run for the guy. This is a great, great way to start that series.
Yeah, I kept thinking to myself, man, this city, we haven't been puffing our chest out about this baseball team the last even 3 weeks of the year when we were starting to take off with the division, when it got all the way down to where we were no longer in any kind of command with their situation in the division. They kind of took advantage of everything that was going on in the division the last few weeks. And I'm like, why aren't people confident? Why aren't people puffing their chest? If this was any other Cleveland team that had the best record or one of the best records in the entire American League at this stage of the year, they should be going nuts. Well, I think it was a we'll believe it when we see it in the postseason. And now in one inning against the red-hot Detroit Tigers. That was supposed to be such a factor. Well, they're red-hot.
They were red-hot.
And they did a great job in the wild card. And they took advantage of you know, the Houston Astros. They decimated them. But you know what?
Given,
it's a new series. They even had a layoff, too. I mean, we had a weak layoff. But the Tigers had a little bit of a layoff. And so we got to Saturday. That was packed. I had so many. Apparently nobody knows what I do sometimes on Saturdays. All my buddies are like, where are you? Let's get down to this bar. I'm like, well, I'm in Akron, but after you guys have fun.
Can I just say this, and I know you aren't going to accept it because I know how you are. After the Guardians game, I did tune into the Akron BG game. I thought you did a remarkable job. Can I just say that?
Oh, that is so nice of you.
I'm getting a lot of the stuff about what's his name, the tight end.
Harold Fannin Jr.
I'm getting a lot of stuff about him, but I was there.
We're getting ready to go on the air and everything, and we go up 5-0, and I'm like, okay, my job here is done. We're gonna be okay. We're not gonna fall into the doldrums of so many like
Harvey Keitel. It's gonna be okay. You're not gonna die.
Yeah, because I thought that there was a lot of anxiety. Just from all my buddies that were there, from what I was seeing on social media, just anxiety that the Red Hot Tigers were going to continue that momentum. And then if you get down one game, you got Skubal in the second game, and the rest is history. Instead, they came out and they clobbered them, and it was a beautiful sight. It was so awesome to see.
Yeah, it was. It was a little bit of a relief, and then because once it's like 1-0, then 2-0, then 5-0. And things started off so well. They continue to go well. Tanner Bibee, I thought, obviously everybody thought was great. Bullpen was great. I thought it was a chance to kind of show off the bullpen a little bit to that national audience that's watching and took in the games. It was an enjoyable experience throughout to see the way that they were able to come through. You know, Hunter Gaddis being out there, Tim Herron being out there, Cade Smith, our wonderful Canadian friend, doing a wonderful job there. It was great.
Gave up 4 hits in a playoff game.
We get ready, and they were all, by the way, they're all by Tanner Bibee, scattered over 4 2/3. So it was great. What I think that today, though, becomes, today kind of, in so many words, becomes the series for Detroit. Like, you have your best pitcher pitching. Tarek Skubal's no messing around. He ain't no BS. This guy's really good. He's a Cy Young leader and might end up winning it in the American League. This guy's no BS. If they can't beat us today, I think that's it, because I've said those things before and I've ended up being an idiot about it. But it's as good a chance as you're going to have.
Can I say if they win today, the series is over?
Well, it should be. It should be. I'll go that far. I won't say that it absolutely is, but I'll say that it should be the series if they were to win today, because they don't have anything. They got good pitching. They got decent pitching over there. Don't get me wrong, but they don't have anybody like Tarek Skubal, and if you get to him today, it's 2-0. It's a 5-game series. You should be able to put them away later on in the series.
Absolutely. That's why I thought the pressure was on us on Saturday, and in those situations in the past, any Cleveland team. I mean, it just there is a feeling that when the pressure is on, you know, there's always been this feeling outside of the LeBron years that we melt under pressure. That we, for whatever reason, whatever team, you pick a team that we have done. That doesn't mean every single time across the board, but I do think there, I don't know if it's a stigma. I don't know if it's a psyche of Cleveland sports fans. When we're supposed to be the team that wins, we get a little nervous about those situations, and especially the way the matchups were, where you knew that Skubal was going to be there in game two, and then if there was a game 5, you'd be going up against them twice in 4 games if you were down 1 game. that's why the pressure was on us. And you know what? Guys like Stephen Kwan, guys like Jose Ramirez, they didn't melt under the pressure. It was the opposite. They seized the moment. Yeah. And how awesome is it to have guys that can do that? Seize the moment. A rookie manager in his first game. Hey, they took all the stress out of it. He didn't have to make any big moves in that game. And they seized the moment. It was awesome. And now, with a one-game lead, I think they really do. They have a chance to put this series almost out of reach later today, and I feel good about it. I don't feel good about going up against Skubal just because, but kind of why not? It is baseball. There's no reason why we can't come together and win today's game and put this nice Detroit story that has been permeating baseball, get hot at the right time, and wow, look at these Tigers, the no-one-believed-in-us Tigers. Yeah, we can silence that today.
So how did you take it in? Because I know you had to do the game. So did you watch? Like, it was basically finished by the time you got the broadcast. So did they have a TV in there?
Yeah, every time it's a
wonderful looking stadium. I imagine it did.
We had the tablet working. The internet was working. Everything was golden. Everybody, all the suites, because it was their homecoming. So people are in the suites ahead of time. So they had the game on. So it wasn't like there was a shortage of TV screens with the Guardians on, and it felt like it. It's that time of year. It's October. There should be great postseason baseball on all over the city.
It was a really cool atmosphere. So we got to the games. Can I just to tell the experience?
Yeah,
I'm going to talk about something you hate hearing about real quick. We got there and I go, man, the PA guy is really good. Like, usually that's just a sign up thing. The parents sign up and they can be chains PA, the whole thing. I got there, and we were at a home game, thank God. And I said, the PA guy's really good. Here he was, the PA announcer for Bedford. Really, really nice guy. And he was really good. And we got the fifth and sixth grade game going, and he was doing updates as the game was going on, so it sounded outstanding. So he's like, bottom of the first inning, and like he did the whole thing. And by the time, he kept having to update it. Like, between plays, it went from 1-0, 2-0. Then, like, three plays later, it was, like, 5-0. I was like, wow, this is an incredible experience. And we looked at each other and go, TJ goes, I DVR'd it. I go, well, I don't know if you got a DVR now. I says, you go back and see how it happened if you want to, but here we are. And then I got back to the house, listened to it a little bit, watched the rest of it. It went back and watched the first inning. It was therapeutic, to say the least, and it was good to see a team in Cleveland do well over the weekend.
And it took the tension out of it.
Yes, it did.
I know baseball playoffs, the best thing, like the way the Phillies won, like the walk-off and all that stuff, but it was great to not even have to concern yourself with any of that, to just relax on a beautiful Saturday.
I totally agree. Walk-offs are a great story, but when it's my team playing, I'd rather just win 7-0. If I can win 7-0 every single game, I'm not going to apologize for how they win a World Series if that were to be the way it goes. 216-474-0092. Andy and Medina, you're first up on the fan. Hello, Andy.
Hey, Ken. Good morning. It's been a while since I talked to you guys. I knew it. I knew when I tuned in this morning because I put myself on a little sports detox. I said, my guy Ken's going to start the show the way it should go with our Gardos. The best run franchise in all of professional sports. I don't care what anyone says about the Dolans.
Ooh.
But here we go. We are sweeping the Tigers, and I want the Yankees. Bring on the Yankees.
Jeez,
because
Louise,
you know it.
Are you doing this already? Come on now,
yes.
Andy.
You know
Jeez,
it,
Louise, you
it.
Can't do this. What are you doing? Ken, you can't
you
do this
about?
Already. Andy, Lord, it's the first call out of the box you're saying about the Yankees. I'm not even going to say it because I'm afraid that he's going to go over here and he's going to record me saying it. I'm not even going to say it. You can't do that.
I want the Giants.
Andy.
We've had these historic series against
Andy,
the Giants, whether it's the Nats and Jabba Chamberlain.
Andy, the only way, if they go out there and they were to lose to the Yankees, I have to dox you so people get their comeuppance for you. I can't do that. I'm not allowed to do it. It's illegal. I cannot sit there and put out your entire identity, like my identity's out there where they could go after me. You can't just make these guarantees, Andy.
I can make these guarantees because on May 8th, I had a feeling $30 to win the World Series pays $1,100. And then a small little wager, Guardians over Phillies in the World Series, $1 pays $3.01. And I'll tell you what, we get to the fifth inning with allowing less than two runs, game's over. I don't even care if we're down 2-0 because this team's a grinded out team. We made the right call with whatever happened with Tito. God bless him for 10 years. But this is a magical season. This feels different than even 2016. You have to admit it. It feels even different than 2016.
Yeah, I mean, I'll admit it, Andy, and thank you very much for the call.
2017 is the year I thought we were going to win it all.
I'm not going to do that.
2017 was the year I thought was going to be magical, and we lost three straight, and it was a part of losing eight straight playoff games. That is why Saturday was so important. You know, being able to get off the bugaboo and get off to a great start in the series and now feel like you have command in that series, especially, my God. They go out today, yeah. and they find any run support whatsoever. They give themselves a shot. This is going to be beautiful. And yes, then I will think, I'll agree with Andy, that you are going to sweep Detroit if you win today.
Yeah, but I just can't say bring on the you-know-whos. I can't do that. Andy can do it, but he's just, I can't give his last name. I can't give what he does. That's unfair, because they're going to want their retribution if it doesn't go that way. Because then they think you put the Maloik on them, and you can't do that. All right, time to take out the garbage. You ready?
The hell did any of that have to do with the Guardians?
Nothing.
Did he not know? Did Kevin Stefanski not celebrate the Guardians' win? Should he be a little happier?
Did he grow up a Phillies fan, I imagine?
So he should definitely be happy about their theatrics yesterday.
Yeah, it's... I'm glad we started Guardians. We will get back to the Guardians. I need some positivity. Yesterday was an I quit day. Yeah, they've quit. I think they've quit.
Didn't you quit?
I don't know who they've quit on.
Didn't you quit? I quit.
What do you mean by quit? I stopped taking notes. I talked myself into taking notes again at the beginning of the third quarter, and then I wrote to myself, stop taking notes. This game is finished. You are wasting your time.
The wife walked in, the game was still on, and she looked at the score and said, why are you still watching this? Aren't there other games on?
When they hit the field goal, when it was the delay of game, and it looked like Watson had quit, and then we saw that they were counting people out, I'm going, well, now it's just a comedy of errors. The coach can't get in the plays, the quarterback can't count him out, people are upset because he's even walking off with 15 seconds left to go before the play were to run, which I guess is a point, but it's a penalty anyway for the love of crying out loud, so it doesn't even matter. It doesn't even matter. So they go and they kick a field goal when they really should have just tried to call a timeout and just decided to go for it anyway, make it 24-10, but none of it really matters in the grand scheme of things because they had all quit. Oh, and they had a players-only meeting on Saturday. Is
they
that
did?
True?
Yes.
A players-only meeting. Well, that's going to solve everything. It never solves anything. It only seems to make the problems worse. They've quit. They've quit on each other. I just need to know who they're turning their backs on. Who's going to lose the locker room? Is it the coach or is it the quarterback? Which one are they going to do it? Seems like the wide receivers don't like playing with them. Is that wrong? Is that wrong for me to say?
They don't like
playing. Or they either don't like playing with him or they don't like playing with him, whatever this is called, an offense. Probably, you know what? It's probably more of the second part. They don't know what offense they want to run. From play to play to down to down to week to week to day to day, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They don't know what offense they want to run. The defense is out there trying to score points because the defense is the only way to do it. I mean, it's a high school team. That's it. And so now that they've quit on each other.
The defense knows there's no margin for error them.
Yeah.
I mean, if they give up a couple of touchdowns, that's probably the game. If you take one bad angle, and they did, my God, did they take bad angles.
Yeah.
I know that nobody simulates Jaden Daniels very well, but you know you do have Deshaun Watson. There should be some ability to know how a quick runner,
forget
a quick quarterback that can run, because they took some terrible angles yesterday.
It's a disheartening thing. I could scream and yell. Before I get myself worked into a lather, because I'm very happy with the Guardians and the way we started off the show. This was not even a comedy of errors. It was disgusting in every single possible way you could say it.
You said scream and yell. A scream and yell is, to me, a moment where there's a gaffe. We've had those over the years. There's a disastrous situation, a strategy, just total what in the world did we just witness? Those are the times you scream and yell. This has been 5 weeks now of... worst offense since 1999.
It hasn't even been just that. It's been an entire year. This type of stuff starts in the off season. I don't know what this this Ken Dorsey, Kevin Stefanski marriage is. Whatever it is, it needs to end. Either he takes over the play calling and you give Ken Dorsey his walking papers, or just let Ken Dorsey call the plays. Because I need to figure out whose damn fault this is. I need to figure it out. And the quarterback isn't worth talking about. I mean, the quarterback's definitely worth talking about. The quarterback isn't worth getting in a row over because I don't know if he's ever going to be fixed. I mean, the yesterday was as bad as it gets. And you, well, he's running for his life. Yeah, I know. He's running for his life. Yeah, I got it. I know. Does anybody have any confidence that he's ever going to get the nose up on the thing?
He is running for his life. He's also doing the things that he was bad at in Houston, he's actually getting worse at. Yeah. And the things he was good at in Houston, we just never see it on a quarter to quarter basis.
So we are looking at the red button right now. I mean, they're 1-4 in this season as far as making the playoffs. That's done. That's done. It's not like they're losing 3-point games. They got blown out yesterday. The game against the Vegas Raiders. I mean, you had a chance, but did you really have a chance considering that offense? I mean, go down the list. You lost to the Giants. The Giants are a terrible suck-ass team. So when you're losing to terrible suck-ass teams, what's that make you? What's that make you? And so I'm sorry. Fans are looking at the red button, and they have every right to. They have every right to do it. Liquidating assets, getting ready for the offseason, making tough decisions. That's what they have there. And again, it's going to come down to who are they going to decide to go with. And we can make our declarations now, but next week's another wonderful opportunity to go out there and fail. And I, you know what I feel bad for? I feel bad for Rodney McLeod because he's going to come in here and face the music. Nobody else really will, but Rodney's got to come in here and face the music for an entire hour after this type of stuff. That's embarrassing. What happened yesterday was a complete embarrassment. Poor Rodney's got to come in here and sit in here and take the fire from either one of us, and you could tell after the first segment, after each one of these things, he is as tired as anybody can find, and we got to go another 40 minutes with the guy. So poor Rodney's got to come in here and try to draw something up in front of us that's going to give us any sort of positivity getting ready for the Eagles, who are coming off a bye week and are at home. It's going to go our way. Sure. They're singing their fight songs. They're getting all excited in Washington. Stadium's a relic. It's terrible. Just a terrible day. A terrible, terrible day.
I was actually surprised they didn't swap quarterbacks. I think we were on the phone. It was after that fumble that happened where Deshaun, I mean, they were teeing off. If you ever were wondering what that means when hosts or broadcasters talk about teeing off, he looked like a college quarterback when, you know, the FCS team takes the payday from the Power 5, now Power 4 team, and they're running around. And you know how you talk about some guys have eyes in the back of their heads at quarterback? You know, Patrick Mahomes, obviously one of them, or Joe Burrow, the way he slides around in the pocket, and it's like, oh, he knows where all 11 guys are on the field at almost every time. Deshaun, right now, he doesn't know if a guy's right next to him. He doesn't know if a guy's right behind him. So when he does a pirouette to try to spin away and then gets form tackled to the ground, where Greg Olsen is like, well, I haven't seen one of those tackles in a long time. You're like, oh, this guy has no idea where he is on the football field. He has zero awareness. He's been so battered down by the bad offensive line, and now he doesn't trust anything. He certainly doesn't trust his own game.
Yep.
And that's where the whole thing falls apart. And it looks like, how many times, Kenny, we didn't even know each other. This station came around 13 years ago, but before that, there were so many Browns quarterbacks that just didn't belong out there, or the offensive lines were bad, so you didn't even know if there was a chance that the quarterbacks could be good, but you assumed they weren't very good.
This is a shame.
And then those quarterbacks really never went on to do anything elsewhere, so it confirmed that those quarterbacks weren't any good. I was watching yesterday going, we have one of those quarterbacks now, where he's probably not good, but I don't think we're going to even find out if he's any good because the line is so bad. So that's a recipe for everybody losing their job.
It's a damn shame. It's a shame. It's a shame for Miles. It's a shame for Nick. It's a real shame for Joel Bitonio. These are great players. You know, Denzel Ward, it's a shame for him. And these are names off the top. I mean, I can figure out why it's a shame for a lot of guys here. It's a shame. It is truly a shame of what has transpired here. And, you know, they made this deal because they were desperate to find a quarterback. You know, you go back to the clock at 2021 and what that was at that time. We're looking at a broken offense, a broken quarterback, and a broken team. And there's only one way out of this, and that's through, and that's going to take a long time. That's more than this year, guys. This is done. This iteration of whatever this is finished. That's all there is to it. So, I'm more than happy to talk Guardians. I'm more than happy to talk about teams that have a chance.
Because whatever that October was yesterday, October 7th.
That's finished.
It is October 7th.
Yeah.
There are so many games left.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much football season left.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's going to get much better.
Well, I think
I don't know how it can get worse.
Are you 9.5 point dogs to Philadelphia?
That's high school stuff.
Does Lima like or does Lima no like?
Like?
Chummy likey.
I'm liking it.
I like it a lot.
No like.
He doesn't like you.
I don't like you either.
You're tacky and I hate you.
Like or no like.
But I definitely knew what I liked and I definitely knew what I didn't like.
Obviously, we're going to start out with baseball. We're going to start out with the Guardians, and we're going to start out with a team that maybe later today could be in command of this ALDS. And then it's the thing about baseball, light at the end of that tunnel. It's right there. Like, you win today, you beat their ace, you beat the Cy Young Award most likely winner. You're like, we're going to be in the Final Four. We're going to go to the ALCS. It's that quick, but you got to take care of business. They did on Saturday, and Steven Vogt on this team. Is there something special about them? He sure thinks so.
Blast. I mean, our guys run hard, play hard, work hard before the game. And, you know, again, you try to cause chaos on offense. And our guys did that today. Hemi with the infield single, you know, just trying to make things happen. We get the break in the first inning, but our guys kept their heads down. They're running hard. So it's who we are. We're always going to play hard until the last out's recorded.
And it all starts with Kwan, right? We were wondering with his injury concerns. I think this was part of the reason that maybe people weren't puffing their chest out a month before the end of the season, 3 weeks before the end of the season. They're like, well, what's going on with Kwan? You need a viable leadoff hitter.
He had 7 at-bats since coming back from the injury stuff. Yeah, so.
And what did he do? He draws a pair of walks. He gets a hit. Like,
he was a foot away from a home run.
Right. So
to start the game,
that makes you feel tremendous.
Can I give credit to somebody else here during Lima Likes About Baseball? I don't know if you had him in your thing. I know we heard about David Fry being injured earlier this year. I think he's playing with something. And for him to come through in the clutch yesterday and get that double in the sixth and really put things away, and then the way he's just kind of grinding through, I know that some people have been down on him. I want to see what the story is after the season about David Fry, because it looks like he's trying to play through something there, and I got to give him a lot of credit because he's still hitting the baseball.
Absolutely, and that's going to be a big part of it. Obviously, how good he was early in the season. They were a different baseball team. They were a different baseball team offensively. So I agree. That's another Lima Likes. That's a good one right there. Plus, you got to have fun with
Lima Likes.
Tanner Bibee. I mean, it's 4 2/3, and we wondered how long could the starters go. And if you would have told me he went 4 2/3, might have been a little nervous.
Especially, he's the one guy you're going, hey, he's probably going 6 or 7.
Yes. Yes.
He only threw, what, 76 pitches?
You know what? Hey, when it works, it works. And you have a lead like that. It makes you feel really good, and so obviously the availability. I mean, Tanner Bibee is going to be going strong when you see him again later in this series, if you even have to see him again later in this series.
Well, and the one thing that probably, you know, the relievers didn't get to throw for a week, right? They hadn't pitched in a while. You got 4 guys you need to work in. They were probably going to let him go 5 and work in the relievers.
It's a great point, because those guys, while we're all like, hey, we get some time off now and we can get everybody at full strength, the relievers want to pitch. They want to pitch every day. They do those simulation games for a reason. It's a big part of not just the hitters, but what the bullpen, what the relievers want. So Bibee gives up just 4 hits. Those are the only 4 hits of the game. And he struck out 6. So that was beautiful. And even we got some beautiful news yesterday.
Lima Likes.
At least for my degenerate friends. Jose Ramirez. And we need an official score. And I believe Mitch just looks like a guy who would play the part of an official score at some point.
Yes, of course.
Jose Ramirez, they went back and it was originally ruled a fielder's choice on that tough hop with an error.
In the first inning. Yeah.
Yes. When the runner advanced. They now turned it into an RBI double, and multiple buddies ended up winning money yesterday because of that decision. So not only did you get the Guardians win on Saturday, you got the official scores decision yesterday, which gave them more money in their wallet. Mitch, what did you think of the decision? Did you think it was an error? Old school baseball people are like, come on. You've got to call a spade here. Mitch, are you old school or new school on this? And he's not on the mic. His mic needs to be on,
Mitch,
for us to be able to do the segment as intended.
Say what you're saying, Mitch.
I'm calling a spade. That clearly looked like an error that McKinstry got handcuffed on.
So are you taking it away from Jose Ramirez?
I don't want to take it away because he did contribute to the first inning barrage. But
if you were a full Guardians fan, you would have been supporting him the whole way, but you're not a full Guardians fan.
I was
fan.
Actually at the game for Saturday, and you weren't. So.
Whoa. Wow. Wait a second.
What does that mean? You were at the
price
game and
fish.
I wasn't.
Ask him about the price of fish.
You can go to the game all you want. You know how many people go to baseball and football and basketball games who don't know what the hell they're looking at? What's that mean?
In fact,
I spent my valuable Saturday going to the game and then hosting the postgame show afterwards, going to work while you were off doing whatever you
needed
to do.
You really want to sit here and try to call me out for the amount of hours
he
worked,
did
son?
Host the postgame, guys.
Is that?
I'd like to hear more about what you'd like to do.
I know he hosted the postgame because we have it here.
Oh, yeah. Boom.
Game one is in the books, and this is the place to talk about it. Time for the Division Series postgame show.
Right,
a lot of sound effects.
Sports Radio, 92.3 The Fan.
So many sound effects.
This was literally as the final pitch was coming in.
Hey.
Is your mic not working?
Alrighty. We are just seconds away. Yes, a fly ball to left field, and that will do it. Game one in the books, ladies and gentlemen. Your Cleveland Guardians are up 1-0 in the Detroit Tigers series after beating the Tigers 7-0.
All right.
Okay.
Right, great. Mitch.
And you weren't there for it, Ken.
Yeah, where were you?
Where were you in that space of 30 seconds? Of
just coaching football.
Sweet, sweet bed.
Oh, wait, at the end of the game?
No.
At the end of the game, I was watching the game on TV.
Well, Mitch was here hosting the postgame.
That's what I was doing.
Mitch, how were the callers? Were they going nuts?
A few of them called. We took a couple calls. A lot of them were very, very ecstatic, very positive.
Yeah, it's one of those that, you know, the game was over so fast for so many fans. You know, maybe for your debut, you probably were hoping for...
Oh, you needed that Phillies game last night.
Yeah, oh my God.
Yeah.
That would have been incredible. So instead, you kind of sat around and waited for a long time.
A little bit, but it wasn't too bad.
What was you? Did you have a big take?
I mean, just based on the fact that they were able to win. I'm with you guys. If the series, if they go up 2-0 in the series, there's no reason they shouldn't go to Detroit and come back with the ALCS wrapped up.
Okay. One final note.
Lima likes.
Love talking to the fans. Ran into Larry Henderson, who was in charge of the parking lot at Akron, and he said, "Where's your boy Carmen? I don't care. You carry the show." So I really enjoyed that. However,
Lima no like.
Yesterday, MGM Grand, Ruby, she goes, "Where's Carmen?" I go, "Oh, he couldn't be here today." She goes, "I really wanted to talk to Ken Carmen. He makes me laugh." And I said, "Not like that other guy he hosts the show with, right?" And she goes, "I don't know who that is." And then Jonathan Beerling goes, "Anthony Lima, we welcome him back to the pregame show." And she just kind of walked away. She was very sad that you weren't there. So
tell Ruby I'm sorry.
But Ruby was very nice.
I love you, Ruby. I'm sorry. I'm going to meet you soon, I promise.
Yeah, he'll get out there. Oh, that's it for Lima Likes.
All right. It was wonderful. Well, that was a real cavalcade of emotions, wasn't it, there during that entire segment?
You know all what, right. Mitch? Mitch got some playoff post-game baseball
little
under his
seasoning.
Belt.
We're gonna get
little
some
seasoning.